The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 467. I'm your returning host, Mr. Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Welcome back.
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up, party people?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, man, we're back with another one. I am back as well from Vegas. Good times at CES.
Welcome back, sir.
Thank you. I'll tell you more about my adventures on the Thursday show. This is a question show. This is for the fans, you know.
But what if somebody were to ask you a question about what you did out of Las Vegas?
As long as it was related to video games, then yes, I would answer it. But it'd have to be video game related. So actually, we kind of have a question that is related to it, actually. It's about the MSI Claw, which we will talk about.
Nothing about the PlayStation car, the one you can control with the controller.
No question about the PlayStation car in here. I do want to say this, so I'm wearing this SCFU and Play shirt on purpose. So I saw Torrence Davis out there, man. It's been too long.
Oh yeah, you know. By the way, guys, if you go over, head over to the Video Game Warzone YouTube, you can actually see a really good interview with Tony, like impromptu on Davis Daily.
I believe it's also on thecoalition.com. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, there is.
I
think it might be, yeah.
Okay, cool. I just ran into Torrence. Here's the thing. Torrence and I were already talking and stuff. We planned to meet, but on the first day of CES, just ran right into him. Like, okay. And then we started shooting the shit, literally and figuratively. So Torrence is doing good. You know, it's good to see him happy, you know.
Yeah, he's looking a little trim there. Like,
But again, the thing I noticed the most is how happy this guy was. I still remember 10 years ago when we were doing SCFU and Play, how, like, let's just be honest, how miserable he was. Not happy, you know. Yeah. Him leaving the game industry was the best thing for him. And I think it was for me, too. Mm-hmm.
To be honest. I think, you know, I mean, you know what it is? You know, you dip in, you dip out. I think that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, you
he know, didn't want to lose the content. I think his yearning for content creation is still there. It's just he don't want to mess with it. Anyway, I'll tell you about that later. Let's get into these questions, man. All right. Jay Shep starts us off here. Little contentious question, but, you know, very interesting. Hopefully we won't get too much into it. All right. First question here. It feels like all I've seen lately in the gaming news are layoffs and AI. It gives me anxiety, even though these two things may not be connected. Are you guys expecting any regulations regarding AI usage in the gaming industry? Can AI even be regulated in the gaming industry? They're not related. It's two different things. The layoffs and AI have nothing to do with each other. The layoffs, we discussed this before. The layoffs are happening because these companies, they thought that they could keep making 2020 money forever, you know? And now that they see that, you know, sales have dropped off, they got to lay off a bunch of people, among other things, you know, because they got to keep the profits up for the shareholders and all that bullshit.
It's also a symptom of a fucking sickness. We talked about it on the last show, the companies will basically fire a bunch of people to trim the fat to look better for investors and then rehire at the next project, the next season, so that they can, you know, get more of a workforce, which is manipulative bullshit and just honestly kind of fucking evil. But
has correct you, they're not kind of evil, very evil. Fucked up.
Yeah, it's video game companies are very much working like a lot of tech companies these days, where they're essentially making it look like they have a lot of growth, and then to look like they're being cost effective on the downswing to make it look like they're still, you know, to look more mindful, they'll cut out, but they're not really hitting rock bottom. Yeah. You know what I mean?
GZR wants to know, why haven't we seen the layoffs from the Activision deal? Give it time. Give it time. It'll happen.
I mean, it's already happened with Bethesda.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, Microsoft, like, you know, yeah. you know, throughout the year, Microsoft has literally just been chopping the block. So they're yeah. all chopping the block right before the, you're going to see it. Like, look at it next year too, right around the fall going into the winter, you know, like through the holiday season, watch all those layoffs. 'Cause it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
They go up and then they go down, boom. And then they come back out again. And they do that, and they're doing it within this fiscal year too. They trim the fat in this fiscal year, and then March, right?
Is March is when the fiscal year starts. Yeah, for the next one.
That's when usually, the new one yeah. starts, right? Yeah, April. So that's when the
April,
new one
yeah,
starts.
Thank you, Carlos. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, April. Yeah. So that's around April. You're going to start seeing spikes. Oh, hey, you know, we're trying to get more, you know, hiring up. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah. As for the, you know, the main part of the question, will there be any regulation toward AI usage? It's too early to tell, man. We don't know. These companies are still kind of dipping yeah. their toes. They're very excited about this, even though they themselves don't really know what this is about. Here's the thing, just real quick. I was at CES, right? CES was the AI show, right? So I talked to a lot of these companies about AI, right? And most of them, I'm just being honest, seem very excited about it, but they don't really know what's going to happen, you know? So I think it's too early to answer this. The thing is, like, it would have to be self-regulated, because that's usually the way the gaming industry works. It kind of self-regulates. Like, that's how we got the rating system, for example. But I still think it's too early to tell. I mean, Brett, you know, you're more excited about this stuff. I'm not excited at all about it. What's your take on this? Like, because I don't think we have enough information to talk about regulation yet.
Well, I mean, like, it depends on what kind of regulation you're talking about. Like, there's the regulation of intellectual property. That is going on. That is a big thing that is going on. That's honestly why we keep hearing so much about that, is we are establishing a lot of the groundwork for the legal system about how copyright works and how AI works and how rights to you know, things that another thing is trained on work. So, like, we are already establishing that. Now, if we're talking about, do we harness the processing power or, like, some dystopia? If you're like, no, like, nobody's going to regulate and GIMP the processing of AI. Otherwise, we would have already done it. The reason we're not is because, quite frankly, simply, like, the Chinese are also making AI. So we can shoot ourselves in the foot and, you know, hogtie an emergent technology so that the Chinese just dominate us, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, you say the last part again, Brett. You kind of cut off.
It looks like the Chinese already taken over.
I think they took over Brett. Shit, you know.
Sorry, my dog started barking.
Shout out to Brett's dog.
My dog started barking. we can't really hold back on the development of AI because other countries are actively developing this. Because China is developing. So, like, as much as we want to kind of talk about, like, oh, well, we want to pause it here until we can figure out more ethical ways to deploy it, blah, 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 blah. It's all fucking lip service, because they say that, then they don't pause development at all. So if you're talking about regulations on, like if we're thinking, like, action movie terms, like, regulations on AI, how it can be used, how much power it could have, all that kind of stuff, like, no, they're not really doing that, because that's going to and would inherently inhibit the emergence of a developing technology. So that's not going to happen. But where we are going to regulate it is how it can make money, which seems to be the only thing our legal system really cares about most of the time.
Yeah.
I guess the answer is yes and no.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of the sense I got from some of these executives I talked with. Like, they, you know, they see the concern people have, but like you said, China ain't going to fucking stop if we do, you know? So we're full speed ahead here. Could come ill or good. It's too early to talk about regulation, I think. But good question, though. Maybe we'll come back to it later. What's up, Carlos?
Yeah, like Brett mentioned, it just depends on what type of regulation. And like Brett also mentioned, that things are already going on. The writer's strike and the actor's strike took a long-ass time because this whole AI stuff was a huge, you know, bottleneck to the discussions between the studios and the people in the Actors Guild and Writers Guild. So the start of all of this, you know, it's already been going on. to where we get to, there's still a lot more to go because it's going to get messy in the years to come.
Yeah. All right. Good question. Next up here, another one from Mr. J. Shep. Do you guys expect, this one's interesting. Do you guys expect future big title Xbox first party games to be limited to certain reviewers for early access, similar to Starfield upon release? Games like Avowed, Fable, Hellblade 2, etc. Okay, so when I first saw this question, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, it kind of, you know, not no offense to you, J-Shep. It sounded like some conspiracy theory craziness. But no, apparently, there were some publications that didn't get the game early. Like The Guardian here, they actually wrote a whole article talking about how they didn't get the game early. And then, of course, that reminded me, oh, wait, Bethesda always does this shit. You know, they give the game, they make a lot of people wait until the game comes out. You know, I remember the last one I remember was Doom Eternal, right? A game that was universally praised, by the way. There's nothing wrong with the game, but you had to wait if you're a reviewer. Nobody got that shit early, you know. But apparently in the case of Starfield, you know, there was preferential treatment to mostly influencers. Big surprise there. So his question is, will we see that with other Bethesda games? Or actually, he's tossing in some Xbox games in general here. I can't speak about Xbox games, but, you know, the way Bethesda operates, I wouldn't be surprised, you know. I mean, they'll cut motherfuckers off, you know. They cut Kotaku off, you know.
This isn't just a Bethesda thing. This is an industry-wide issue with especially with big publishers. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but the whole thing with the leaks, the Insomniac leaks, the reason why most people didn't want to cover this was not because of ethics, it was because they don't want to lose a Spider-Man review code for the next.
Yep.
So it's a cat and mouse game, man. Some people play nice, some people don't. And, you know, influencers teeter that line more than anybody, and they usually get rewarded just because they're shills.
Yeah. They are. Let's just be real here, you know.
No sugarcoating there.
Yeah, I want to say this right? Yeah. Go ahead, Carlos. Finish your point.
Oh, no.
Something to add. But I do want to preface it with this, because obviously the kind of subtext here is that there's some funny money stuff going on. No, it's not, right? For example, right now, my man Otaku Man 5000 Andre. They got his site got the code early for Starfield. They didn't get paid off. Tom's Guide, we got this code early. We got multiple. We were all like, they were like, how many codes you want? We got you, you know? And we gave it a so-so review too, you know? It wasn't like they knew we were going to give it a glowing review. So I think maybe they stepped away from people they knew would maybe give it a bad review. But you can still tell they definitely favored influencers. And I've said this a million times on the show. If you are a video game company, who would you prefer to give a code to? An influencer that you know is going to be hyped as fuck and push your shit out and just hype it to high hell, or a journalist whose job it is to be critical of your shit. Like if I was a game company, I wouldn't even be messing with journalists. I'm a journalist. I'm saying that, you know, so it makes sense they're doing that. But there's no really anything funny. I mean, it is funny in that sense. But like Carlos said, this happens all the time with all the publishers. They always give preferential treatment to people. In general, you know,
the thing about it is, and the thing that a lot of these people don't seem to talk about is most definitely, you know, doing business with influencers, it means that they can somewhat control the narrative of what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and I mean, yeah. And we always hear about the, like, oh, they paid off so and so. I'm like, yo. You know who's really getting paid off? They may not be getting paid off with like real legitimate money,
sometimes are. But, and that's not to derail the conversation, that's what frustrates me to high hell, right? Journalists are accused of being paid off all the time. We're not. Yet influencers who actually are paid off, they're a more trusted source to some gamers. What? That doesn't make any fucking, they're legitimately paid off in some cases. Right. If a journalist were to be, if it found out that they were paid off, they would be fired and their publication would just be tarnished. You know, it's insane.
Yeah, there's a thing. There's a there's a thing called journalistic integrity, yeah, right?
That doesn't exist
always,
for influencers.
We always talk about that, but that doesn't, exist for influencers. You see all that shit happening all over, so all the fucked up craziness that they do all over that stuff, and there's no checks and balances for them.
Yeah, and think about it, every single time there's been an instance where like some corruption has been going on, like Gamergate, that shit gets called the fuck out. You know, because that's, as a journalist, you're supposed to have some kind of standards, right? I'm not saying everybody has standards, but the whole payola shit does not fucking happen. And if it does happen, it gets exposed quick, you know, unlike these fucking influencers. But going back to the other thing, yeah, some companies obviously do play favorites because, you know, they want good coverage at the end of the day, you know, and it's very easy to get that good coverage from an influencer, you know? All right. Anybody else have anything that you want to add to that?
I'm not going to call out any names, but during a certain cyberpunk game, and some influencers that are very well known for calling out, you know, certain types of shit, all of a sudden gave these sort of level-headed reviews, and then all of a sudden did another review later, reevaluating what they said.
Yeah. I'm
not saying a person can't, and they supposedly changed, they supposedly played the whole game through, all the way through. So all of a sudden now, what happened?
Yeah. I mean, I think I know which influencer you're talking about, a certain voice actor, but I'm not going to get into that, you know? All right, let's move on. I think it was pretty obvious what I'm talking about, you know? Work on your voice acting, bro. All right, next up here, we got Mob Hits, who's also in the chat tonight. All right, with Hellblade 2, Avowed, and maybe Indiana Jones coming out this year, and the fact that this year's Call of Duty will specifically be marketed by Xbox along with anything else they might announce, is Xbox about to have the best year it's had in a long time? I hope so. I hope so. You know, it's about fucking time.
How many times have we had this conversation?
I know, man. But, you know, like Brett did point out the last time we talked about this. Yeah, at least we have evidence to support this. But again, we will see. We'll see. You know,
well, it's also like an easy thing to say when you've had a string of bad years.
Yeah. You know,
so it'll be better.
It's like technically, yeah, maybe. Although like I would say like I feel like this year's actually been pretty good for Xbox. Like Starfield, it's such a mixed thing. Like I was shocked how many hours I put into it. It's again, it's one of those like fine, it's fine. It's good. It's not good for a Bethesda game, which is a weird place to fucking be, but it's fine. But they're not in a bad place, and they're off set up to be in a slightly better place next year. So, like, I guess the statement seems technically true.
But I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. I got to be that guy. I got to adjust my nerd glasses here. By this year. You said Xbox had a good year this year. By you mean last couple months?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You realize what today's date is, right?
I meant last year.
It fucked me up last week too. Like, oh yeah, 2024 now. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Go ahead, bro.
I'm just they didn't have a 2023, a bad 2023. Technically, 2024 seems like it might be a little more bumping. So technically that statement is true, but like it also feels false. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. Xbox has been stable in 2023, says Otaku Man.
And that's progress, but that's progress. Like
that is progress, you know?
Oh, I mean, we're talking about a company that was getting like trounced by the Switch here. Like, so like, again, y'all think I'm a fucking fanboy, but really it's just one of those like, oh, look, it's like, it's back to health. It's like, it's not the healthiest thing ever, but it was hit by a truck and mangled, and its guts were on the outside. Like, it's the progress that they've made with Xbox, like, fucking lot, man. It's a fucking lot. Insofar as that maybe one day, possibly, if this keeps up, potentially, it could even compete with PlayStation. Now, I know the statement I just said, and I know what people are going to hear, which is Xbox is way better than PlayStation. I didn't say that. Go back and listen to the tape, but, like, hey, man, if this keeps up, they could start to be enough of a threat that they could force Sony to adjust its business. And in doing so, that, in my opinion, is a console war that kind of benefits consumers. When you start having to vie for the attention of the consumer and fight for it instead of just like having it by default, usually consumers win on that point.
Hey, Brett, got a comment here from GZDR that I specifically want you to address. So even though he put it towards me, I think you're better suited to answer this. He goes, define good year. If Microsoft releases 5 games, but they all score between 75 and 80, they are going to get roasted. If they get 20 million players, but 2 million sales, they will get roasted. If none of them make game of the year, they will get roasted.
I mean, Xbox is going to be roasted. Like, but here, the thing, again, we've talked about this, like, that's kind of, and maybe we're using wrong, the Xbox tax. Like, it's a bias that they have to overcome because they dug that hole themselves. So, like, yes, it is both a bias and a recognized bias, but, like, it's one that we kind of have. Like, Microsoft is going to have to prove themselves. They fucked up pretty spectacularly. That being said, they've adjusted a lot of their upper echelon. They've changed the way that they're doing business. They fundamentally changed the way a lot of gaming works kind of with Game Pass. Like, so I'm of the mindset it's, you know, it's a Theseus's ship kind of situation. Like, at which point is it no longer his old ship? Like, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. So, like, at which point, like, is it no longer the old ship? At which point is it no longer that Microsoft? And I feel like that's why it's easier to define better instead of good. Like, we can concretely demonstrate better and a positive upward trend. Good is so ambiguous, and there's so many haters. Like, here's the thing. I'm straight up, like, calling out the haters. Like, I'm not even going to be ambiguous about it. Like, PlayStation fans seem super threatened by the Xbox, more and more so. And the point, like, I feel like their arguments against it are getting, like, kind of dumber and dumber. But that fact alone, I think, speaks more to me than anything else. Because before, it was just like, you know, pithy, hand wave, wave. It's fucking Microsoft. What the fuck are they going to do? So, like, the fact that people are starting to be like, well, no, here's 9 reasons why Microsoft sucks. Like, why are you taking time out of your day, bro? Something got you feel a little uneasy? So, but again, like, I don't understand that, because even as like a primary Sony fan, like, my PlayStation experience is just set to get better with healthy competition. So, sorry to kind of roll back in that tirade. Right? The answer to the question is really, that's why better isn't, or best slash good isn't really a good way to mark things. We have to look at better. And if they're looking to have a better year, or even like maybe like the best one of several years, like, technically that's true. But again, that's a low bar to clear. I don't really know if we need to be celebrating, like, look, like, it's like a friend who got hit by a truck. Like, do we need to celebrate every step they take to recovery, or can we just kind of like be like, okay, they seem to be healthy and stable now. We're gonna check back in when they're, you know, doing well again. Like, Microsoft has a ways to go, and I don't think that they're going to prove themselves this year. Does that mean they're going to have a bad year? What's that?
In 2024, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to prove themselves in 2024. It's going to take more than a 2024 to convince anybody. But, you know, this is a marathon. It's not a sprint. If you release several decent games this year and show us news about more stuff coming, that when we get to this point next year, 2025 is going to be looking much better, and people will have more confidence. And you're just going to have to build it up slow like that. There's not going to be a big trigger moment where everybody just goes, fuck yeah, Xbox. It's going to be about slowly building confidence and numbers. And now that they're profitable, they don't, they can do that. It's not a race. So I think that's kind of where they stand. So unfortunately, it's super unsatisfying, but we kind of got to look at where they've been, where they're going, the kind of progress they're making, the, you know, the whole shenanigan, or the whole big, what's the word, kit and caboodle, there we go, the whole big kit and caboodle. So, yeah, we can measure progress, can we? Like, we can all agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because you're seeing the pieces kind of coming together. But you bring up a good point about how we're not going to see that, like, nuclear detonation moment, which is also, you know, I guess that's just human instinct. That's what you want, right? But you're probably right. It's probably not going to happen. You know, I hate to use it this way, but the Xbox tax is real. Xbox will always be hardcore scrutinized. But if you have like a bunch of good solid years under your belt, it's like compound interest, you know, keeps going and going and going. And before you know it, it's like, oh, Xbox is like respected again. But I think you're right that we're not going to have a singular moment when that's going to happen. You know, like I know that's boring as fuck, but it's just how it is. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, we get so few of those. Like, what would that even look like?
Yeah. No, but you're right. Xbox could legitimately drop a 10 out of 10 fucking masterpiece. People would be like, okay, what about all the other fucking years we had to deal with?
That's going to happen.
Yeah.
Bro, people, and respectfully, I'm pretty sure even you would be like, okay, that's one.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely would. One. And I've said this before, and again, I'm so glad we have this podcast. Three games in a row, unequivocal success. And by success, I mean money success. And good, got to be good games too. Then I'll be like, okay, Xbox, you got your shit together. You know? But everybody has different definition of success. But either way, I agree with you. It's going to take a while. It's going to be like, you know, like a jog. It's not even going to be a fucking race. You know? A brisk jog. You know? I want to read this comment. This one's kind of at you as well. Brett is substituting competition with buying studios. Competition is you make this, we make this, and see how it goes. If Microsoft and Sony had $69 billion and you let Microsoft buy first and Sony buy second, I don't think Microsoft's first choice would be Activision Blizzard, knowing Sony could take away GTA.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, we're talking about market competition. Like, yes, you absolutely can buy. Like, that is a thing that has happened in economics forever. It's the reason a hostile takeover is even a term. But I get what you're saying, and the spirit of what you're saying is absolutely correct. Like, Microsoft can't just buy. Even if they could, they're going to face the ire of the consumers, of such as yourself. Like, they haven't earned your good graces. Just because they bought things that you like doesn't mean that you trust or appreciate them. And it's not going to. That's why we've all kind of, I think, pretty much agree. Like, they have to produce in order, like, they have to earn back everybody's respect. Like, we all agree with that, right? Like, we're all on the same page, because I'm not arguing. Like, I know the vibe that you're going for, and I'm like, I'm not disagreeing with it. But strictly speaking, like, are they a competitive company if they say buy up all the manufacturing means and throttle their competition to the point where their competition can't technically make a product? Is that true competition in capitalism? Yes.
Yep.
All right. That's how capitalism works. And I'm not a fan of that aspect. I'm not saying you should be either. But, you know, in a more abstract sense, that they have to earn your respect. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. Moving on here, another one from Mr. Mob Hits. I've heard Tony mention that buying the PlayStation Portal wouldn't be worth it to him, since you can't use it outside your home. Even though I've seen videos of people on planes, in a car, at work, etc., playing remotely. I, for one, will be buying one soon when it becomes available. Would the PlayStation Portal become the ultimate portable handheld if PlayStation Plus was available on it? All right, let's go down to some things, because I'm seeing kind of some conflicting stuff, right? I could not get this thing to work outside my house. Our reviewer, a Tom's Guide, also could not get it. And it's confused me, because I'm like, you could use Remote Play on your iPad. You could use it on with the Backbone Plus or whatever. Why doesn't it work on the PlayStation thing? So if I'm wrong, I will absolutely admit it. But I can't get PlayStation Portal PlayStation Remote Play to run on this thing outside my Wi-Fi network. Doesn't work. I've tried. I assumed it was just work like everything else does, but it can't. You know. So again, I will look at these videos myself, see if there's a trick or maybe I'm doing something wrong. But either way, even if that was the case, right? I'm speaking just for myself right now. It would still be a waste of time. Like, it just, like, I don't want to use a streaming device outdoors. I don't even want to use it indoors, you know, to stream a game. I'd rather play locally. That's why we have a Steam Deck, you know? So that's for me personally. But I also understand why guys like Frankie B, why he likes it. You know, he's got, like, you know, the game running up on, like, he has PlayStation in his living room and shit, people watching TV. I think he has, like, you know, a family and stuff. He's downstairs in the basement chilling, Remote Play, cool, whatever, fine. But here's the thing, and here's my question. So if this thing, you know, it is a Remote Play thing, PlayStation Plus should work on it as long as you're streaming it off your PlayStation, correct? Or am I wrong about that? I don't have PlayStation Plus, so I can't test this. I guess nobody has the answer to this.
I don't have PlayStation Plus. Or the streaming service.
Yeah. But Brian, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, if you could access PlayStation Plus on your PlayStation 5, shouldn't you also be able to do the same thing on the PS Portal, since it's just a streaming device that's connected to your PlayStation 5?
Oh, this is funny. Yes, but Sony says no.
Jesus. Are you serious? So what happens? I'm asking you because I honestly don't. So what happens if you click on PlayStation Plus on this device? What, like, you know, again, you're streaming your PlayStation with your PlayStation feed is showing. It's showing up on this device. So if you click on PlayStation Plus, what happens?
I don't know, but that is what I heard, that you can't do that. And wow. I was like, okay, that's pretty stupid. And then I remembered that a certain someone had an issue with controllers and a certain console, and people were saying, oh, no, Brian, that's just ridiculous. And here we are. It's like, yeah. Well, it's almost like you having a controller for the same console that somehow can't work for the same games for some odd reason because Sony says no. It's like, okay, fine, you know.
Yeah, so, Blitz, that's what I'm saying. It's supposed to mirror what happens on your PlayStation. But as Brian said, and as Mob Hits also just said too, you can't use PlayStation Plus on this thing.
Is it a bandwidth thing? I mean, you're streaming, your PlayStation is streaming.
Doesn't make any sense.
To the device, and then maybe it's having issues because it's trying to stream to that. I don't know. I've never tried it, and I honestly, it seems like a scenario I would never try.
Yeah.
So I like Brian, I don't know, but
yeah, I don't have. I wouldn't be surprised. I can't test it. I mean, Mob Hit says it's not a bandwidth problem. So what the fuck's the problem? What the fuck's the problem?
I mean, you know,
just says no.
Yeah, Sony is kind of weird with that because you remember when I was trying to test remote play on my iPad, it wasn't working. I was like, "What? It's right. It's in the same room as my PlayStation. I'm just testing this out. It wasn't working. You know why it wasn't working? Because I didn't have a PlayStation controller connected to my iPad. It hated it. I connected my Xbox controller to it and it wouldn't work. And then what? I'm like, oh, let me test that with my PlayStation, my DualSense." Connected my DualSense, and it started working.
What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense.
It's.
I don't know. So yeah, I guess the harder question is: would this thing actually, the PlayStation Portal, would this thing actually be good if you could play PlayStation Plus on it?
I mean, it would make it do more things because it currently can do like one thing. So it'll increase its output in things it can do by double.
Yeah. But again, I really want to look into this whole playing it remotely, like outside. Because again, I was like, that day I was hyped too. I'm like, oh shit, take this to the office. Gonna test this out. I made sure my PlayStation was in sleep mode, you know? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Didn't fucking work, you know? And again, even our reviewers, like, yo, I couldn't get this shit to work, you know? So yeah, hence why we gave, among other reasons, why we gave it a 2 out of 5, you know? Yeah, Blitz, you're right. Remote play works on a fucking Steam Deck. I didn't have any problems using that. Yeah. Fuck out of here, man. J-Shep, let's go Lions. I'm guessing that's a football thing.
Yeah, they just won right now. It's the playoffs.
Okay, is that because I'm like, why is Twitter going crazy about fucking football tonight? You know? So I was like, the Super Bowl must be coming soon. You know,
it's getting closer.
Yeah, you could tell how knowledgeable I am on football. All right, so yeah, this thing, you know, nah. For some use cases, sure, but nah, no, it's no good.
No bueno.
No bueno. All right, moving on. Toon Medic. He just called himself Toon. Our boy, Mr. Michael Santiago. What's going on, brother? All right, his question is, what game do you think will win the Xbox Direct? So apparently the Xbox Direct is happening, right? It's like yep. Official, it's not like fake.
Who knows? Next week, too.
Yeah. Oh, shit, what day?
Yep, the 18th. That's on Thursday, I think.
Crazy. Oh, perfect.
Yep.
Perfect. Throwdown, baby. Yeah. Won a playoff game for the first time in 32 years. The Lions, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, since 91.
What the fuck was I even talking about? Oh yeah, Xbox Direct. Oh yeah. So did they give any inclination of what games are going to be shown?
They gave you an exact list of the games.
They're going to show. Ooh, fancy. Yep. Again, people, I was away at CES, so I don't know any of this stuff. Let me look this up.
One of them was the new Indiana Jones game, by the way.
Okay. Let's look this up. This is the first time I'm hearing about this. Should be in news, right? Okay, here we go. Returning January 18th. All right. Here are the games. Indiana Jones, Avowed, Aura, History Untold, Senua's Sacrifice, or Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. So yeah, the question was which game will win the Direct. Hopefully Senua's was Sacrifice too, you know.
Yeah, nah, it'll be totally Indiana Jones.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be Hellblade. It's gotta be Hellblade.
Yeah. It's gonna be Hellblade. I think Hellblade. That's probably gonna be the showstopper. I think the reason it's last on this list is probably why. I wonder if this is in order too, where they're gonna show it. It may kind of make sense. Indiana Jones, Avowed. What about Avowed, Brett? Aren't you kind of excited for that?
You know, I have a fear that Avowed is not going to do well. Not because it's not necessarily a good game, but because it's the comparison to Skyrim is almost problematic. Like, there's going to be no way that you can't not see this as a game like Skyrim. But they have said themselves this is not a game like Skyrim. They started off as a Skyrim clone, and then they kind of went, yeah, we can't do the kind of depth that Bethesda can do. Like, we can't. And so they scaled it back to be a more streamlined kind of thing, which means that, like, there are probably a lot of people who really like it. You know, like, you'll probably like it more than Skyrim kind of thing. Probably maybe a strong word there. But, you know, like, for people who like streamlined cinematic games, this may be the adjustment that they've wanted. But it's just going to be really hard not to be like, oh, it's a shitty Skyrim, even if it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned. And, you know, it's... Because their sci-fi game is like, I wanted to like it.
Outer Worlds, but, right?
Yeah.
I got bored of that too, to be honest.
Controversial statement. Starfield's better than Outer Worlds.
Yeah, right.
I didn't play Outer Worlds. I can't.
I reviewed it. I got bored after a while, like 20 hours in. I played enough for the review. I'm good. I don't need to play this anymore. Blitzghost, isn't it meant to be another Outer Worlds style game? In that is smaller, shorter. Yeah, that's probably what it's going to be. Brett's point is correct. Is people going to go, oh, this is a GIMP Skyrim or something?
Even if it's good.
Even if it's good. Yeah.
The whole hype behind a lot of about this is they made New Vegas right after Fallout 3, and it was a huge success. And now they're working on another Western RPG that's like another Bethesda type game. A fantasy Western RPG with Avowed, and that's why all the comparisons are taking place for the most part. It's going to be interesting. I don't know how they're going to do it. I mean, we barely have heard anything about this game other than that intro trailer that we saw years ago. So we'll see. We'll see what gets showed. It's going to be cool because we're finally going to get some more news on this game.
Yeah. GZR asked another question here. What game do you guys think is the first party that is going multi-plat? Many think it's Hi-Fi Rush. I think it's Sunset Overdrive. Makes sense considering Insomniac won't make a sequel if Microsoft has exclusive rights to the next two games.
I don't know about that.
I thought Insomniac kept the rights to that.
They still have the rights to it. Yeah,
I believe
rights to it.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I believe that's the case, that they have the rights to it. Next question is also kind of related. Okay, I don't know if you guys answered a question from this guy because I've never seen his name before. Go Po.
Sounds like a new name.
Welcome, welcome to Throwdown, man. Good stuff. Welcome. Go Po. Interesting name. All right. What do you think of PlayStation games going full third party? I don't understand the question exactly. What do we think of it happening or the possibility?
Yeah, what do we think, the possibility of it happening?
I guess the question's connotation is most Sony first party, the big ones, the first party games eventually go to PC, so like they kind of go third party.
Yeah,
but this is like full third party.
Well, it's
like,
not.
The chances of that happening are very slim. They're not going to put their even. There are some guy because I know motherfuckers going to come in. What about MLB the Show? Yes, I get that, but for the most case, you're not going to see Horizon Forbidden Dawn 3 Xbox on an Xbox. You know,
the difference between MLB the Show is it's a license, and then the license holder told them they want this to be on other consoles.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up because people just like, oh, that's a Sony game. Like, get the license for it, dude.
It's a license. It's a game. Yes, the baseball game is a Sony game, but the MLB license belongs to the MLB, and they grant that license to Sony, And if they say, hey, why the fuck isn't this on Xbox and Nintendo and everything else under the sun? What are we paying for? That's why.
Yeah. It's like, go ahead.
The only thing that would be kind of similar is if Marvel is telling Sony to make the Wolverine game multiplied, and that's the only way that they'll be able to make it.
Yeah. But like, that's a good point. Yeah. But in general, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think you're going to see Sony on Nintendo Switch 2 or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen that way. I think the PC situation works out for them because it at least allows them to connect, to catch a little bit more money after the fact when their games are, you know, when the games have already run their course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to be honest, like there are a few Xbox games that essentially made their way over. You know, Cuphead did make its way over to PlayStation and Nintendo.
So. Yeah, but that's not a first party game.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a first party funded game, but I don't think it was a first party game. You know, specifically, I don't think they have the same situation as Ori, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, but both Ori and Studio MHDR are independent studios. I remember how the funding was with Microsoft, but yeah, those seem just like Microsoft funded it, made it exclusive, and then but I don't think it was anything other than making it exclusive for some substantial amount of time.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't see PlayStation doing that. By the way, you know, because we got time here. Did you guys see what happened at Sony's press conference at CES? Something very interesting happened.
You mean the Gravity Rush, development film?
No, I'm not talking about that.
The car?
I'm talking about the fact that Sony was hyping up a Legend of Zelda movie. Think about that. Sony, Nintendo have been enemies for 30 years. Are we seeing things changing here? Very interesting.
I mean, it's probably because Sony doesn't, Sony Pictures, I guess, has the rights to make a Zelda movie.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. But again, if you're a gamer, you're like, wait, hold on. You know, we still have memories of the Nintendo PlayStation and all that, you know, or the Super Nintendo CD, all that shit. And it's a bitter rivalry between the two. Like, you know, Chris has told us this story many times, how when he worked for Nintendo, they wouldn't even buy Sony TVs. That's how much they hated them. You know, they bought more expensive TVs in bulk than buying PlayStation. You couldn't even mention PlayStation portable in the Nintendo office. Like, you get chastised for it. This isn't rumored. This is shit Chris told us that he saw himself, you know? So that's how deep that hatred goes. Or rivalry, I should say. It's some like old school samurai code shit, you know? So I'm wondering it's just very interesting to me, you know? And for a game
to be honest, like, you know, they have Sony has had they did a couple of, you know, things. I mean, they have the Spider-Verse film and they have a couple other things, you know, Sony Pictures. So maybe with the bidding came along, you know, of what companies that wanted to bid for the franchise, Sony just had the most interesting one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, you know, on a big level, it, you know, it's like, oh, Sony makes movies. Why wouldn't they do this? You know, so on that sense, no biggie. But again, if you're a gamer, you're like, oh, that's interesting, you know, considering the rivalry these guys have had for 30 years, you know? So who knows? But yeah, I just find that very, very interesting. All right. Next up here, another one from Mr. Gogol Poe. Will the console war ever end? War never changes until you buy Activision Blizzard. That's fun. No, you're never going to see the end of it, man. It's always going to go on. There will always be a console war. You know,
people are always going to champion the thing that they got.
Yep.
It's always going to happen that way, and they're always going to look for little reasonings, and it's never going to be any different. Although I would say the console war nowadays is full of more petty bullshit than I would say previously. You know, like as the years have gone on,
it's gotten worse.
Where like people just making up shit just to fuck with people, you know, just because they want to say it.
Yep.
You know,
Brett, were you going to say, man?
Oh, just that it's barely going. Like there's fanboys flaming each other, but I would argue the console war has been out of the game for at least a few years.
Yeah, the actual war itself, yeah, that's Sony has won that shit decades ago. But I think he's really more referring to the console fanboy wars. That'll always rage, you know? As long as there are consoles, that shit will rage. It's just how it is. I'm not going to get to it, but that's never going to end. That's just how it is. Social media has made it worse. Yeah, I agree with that.
Blitz. I would say so because it's, you know,
console social media war is weak not, soldiers. A good one, no, Otaku Man.
You know, yeah. I would say like that, like as a place like, you know, the X or Twitter or whatever the fuck you want to call it is not the place to have those sorts of conversations, right?
It's not a like place to have any conversations.
You can't have a nuanced conversation about things, and then obviously when people are just talking out, nobody's listening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, again, because people aren't there to have discussions. They're there to point and get their point. You know, exactly. That's it. That's all they care about.
Exactly.
It's just a bunch of fuckwits bickering. Yep. That's exactly what it is, Blitz. Exactly what it is. So, yeah, war will never change. Console war never change.
The thing is, it has changed. The problem is that it's gotten
worse. Yeah. Because you're right. Because back in the day, we would talk shit about the rival console and then go to our friend's house and still play on that console. We would still play on it, but now these guys are like religious zealots. It's like, no, I will not even look at these games. They won't even mention anything good on it. If you were to ask a hardcore PlayStation guy, say one good thing about Xbox and vice versa, they wouldn't be able to do it. They wouldn't do it. They would have something in the back of their mind, but they won't admit it because they want to keep that facade up. You know, it's really fucking crazy, man. Philly Fred, what's up? All right. All right. And the last question of the night. Mr. Romudeth, very charitable guy, is sponsoring one of J-Shep's extra questions. All right. What do you guys think of the MSI Claw? So the MSI Claw, yo, we were 8 days into the fucking year. And MSI's like, yo, we got a handheld, you know? In case you didn't know, I not only wrote my hands-on on it, but I also did a video. But before I give my little spiel on it, did you guys see the MSI Claw, and what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, and here's the thing. I know, Tony, you're in the weeds. You need to know all this stuff. For me, and I guess from looking at Manny's reaction, same thing with him. It's like another one of these things, you know, these Steam Deck clones. But, you know, I didn't see what differentiated this a lot from others. But I also didn't really pay that much attention to it, to be fair.
Yeah. Brian, did you see anything about the Claw?
Nope. I'm guessing that's just another Steam Deck clone, as Carlos says. So I don't care, honestly. It's like
with Windows.
Steam Deck, unfortunately, it's really popular and it works really well. But yet everyone seems to be like, hey, let's get our handheld out and have it run Windows. And it's like, and people just don't like that. And yet somehow they keep doing that. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like these companies don't understand what people are actually wanting and rather just pushing stuff out because their competitor also did the same thing. So it's kind of like a weird, like, just everyone copying their next door neighbor who just happens to copy their next door neighbor without knowing why. So, oh yeah, they're doing it, so we'll do it. So I don't think until they do a proper Steam Deck alternative, i.e., some sort of operating system that's Linux-based that actually works well with games. I just don't see any of these being a thing. You know, again, it can be as powerful as all hell, but if it's attached to Windows, you'll have the Windows problems.
Yeah.
And Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the Intel-based...
That's the thing that makes this different than the other ones. But before I get to that, just a little fun inside story. So I met with MSI about 3 weeks or 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks before CES, right? It was 3 weeks just to check out their laptops, you know, ROG laptops and all this other stuff, Prestige laptops. And we didn't even bring up, I was there with my colleague. We didn't even bring up the subject at hand. Didn't bring it up at all. And they asked us, hey, do you guys like systems like the ROG Ally and Steam Deck? Like, yeah, we do. Like, why? You got something? Right. You know, stay tuned. And again, this is unprovoked. We were just there to see laptops, right? So I'm like, okay, these motherfuckers are gonna have something. you know? And surely enough, a couple of days before, by the way, you think video games are leaky? The tech industry is way more fucking leaky. This shit got leaked, you know, the MSI Claw. But yeah, the you know, when I was looking at the specie, the thing that stood out to me the most is that this is running on the Meteor Lake processor, Intel Core Ultra, right? The new AI chip. Which is different because all the other ones, you know, the other major ones that we've seen are, you know, running on AMD, right? Steam Deck, ROG Ally, and the Lenovo Legion Go all running on some, you know, AMD APU. This is running on Intel. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And obviously, we're not going to know until we test the shit ourselves to see if the chip, you know, not only like makes games run better, but also better battery life. Here's one thing that they said, which I found interesting. They were boasting about the fact that you get 2 hours. They said, we tested Forza Horizon 5 and the game ran for 2 hours before the battery ran out. I'm like, 2 hours is the same battery life as a Steam Deck and every other handheld I played. That's not really anything to boast about. It's literally the same. You know, it's like, what, 10 minutes more? You know, so I don't know about that. But I'm curious to see if that chip will actually make a difference, because one of my biggest disappointments with literally everything besides the Steam Deck has been the performance. It's like, okay, on paper, the Lenovo, the fucking ROG, all these things are more powerful than the Steam Deck on paper, right? But since games aren't optimized for, you know, because they have like custom AMD chips, the games don't really run that well, right? Unless you drop them down to 720p, and that kind of defeats the purpose. I'm like, okay, so you have a fucking 1080p screen on the ROG Ally and like a 2.5K display on the Lenovo. But you try to run them at native resolution, the games run like shit, you know? So that's one of my concerns. And like Brian said, Windows 11 is not really optimized for handheld controls. You know, that's another problem. It's like you need a UI, you know, operating system that's tailor-made for those controls. I would love it if I turn this thing on, go through the boot up section, and I don't even see any Windows shit. You know, like you have to go through the whole Windows setup process to get these machines going. And it does have its own UI. It's called the MSI Command Center, Command Center M. It looks good. You know, I only got to play around a little bit, but I'm like, okay, well, this thing, you know, the launcher, will it just automatically launch? I don't want to see the fucking Windows desktop when I boot this shit up. That's my problem with all these other systems, right? So that question's up in the air. But again, just like with Asus and Lenovo, at least this is a manufacturer that makes gaming hardware, right? It's not like, I'm sorry, INEO, I know you've been doing this shit for a while, but nobody knows who the fuck you are. You probably don't even know who you are, you know? So at least this is a company people have heard of. But I suspect this is going to end up like the other ones I mentioned, the Lenovo and the Asus, where it's like, this is good, but the Steam Deck's still better. I think it's going to be just like that at the end of the day. As for what it's like, it looks like an ROG Ally just painted black. Like, that's what it looks like. Like, even the back buttons kind of feels them. They're like nubs and shit. They claim there's some, like, advanced cooling technology. I hear this shit all the time from laptop manufacturers. It never amounts to anything, you know? But it does feel nice. Big buttons. The screen is nice. It's 7-inch, 1080p. Just like, you know, the Steam Deck. Well, Steam Deck is 720p, but 7 inches. And yeah, it looks cool, but again, I'm curious to see how it actually performs. I want to see, because again, all at CES, I was just, the Meteor Lake chip was just throwing my face. Oh, power efficient, AI, blah, 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 all this shit. I'm like, cool, I need to test this stuff first. I want to see if it's actually going to make a difference.
He's like, AI, blah, 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 but can it play some games?
Yeah. But we've seen some quote unquote AI laptops. Actually, a lot of them are, and you know, again, they claim it's going to be good for gaming, in the sense that, let's just say if you are like playing, you know, you're streaming a game, right? Instead of the CPU and the GPU having to handle not only the streaming but also the OBS and the camera, you could have the camera and OBS being handled by the NPU in the chip, you know, the neural processing unit, and then have the GPU and the CPU handle the game. Cool, but I need to test the shit myself. But as for the Claw, again, I knew this was going to happen. I knew more and more people were going to get into it, and I even talked to Asus when I went to check them out, and they said, I asked them, like, yo, you know, how well did this thing sell, the Ally? Again, this is what they told me. Take it how you will. They said it sold better than they expected. They had a certain number they thought they were going to sell. It sold more than that. And anecdotally, I could kind of believe him because I know a lot of people who are just regular gamers, not in the industry, that own the Ally. I was kind of surprised by that. It's like most people seem to have the Steam Deck and then the Ally is the second one, you know? Also, the price of this guy is $699, just like the Ally and the Lenovo starting price. I think it goes up to like $799 for 1 terabyte. I believe. I know the price are $699, $749, and $799. I think you could upgrade from Intel Core Ultra 5 to 7, but it's not too much. You still get the same screen and everything. But I will obviously be reviewing it. This thing's coming out quarter two. So, because I'm pretty much Tom's guy, designated handheld guy, you know, like for obvious fucking reasons. So, should be interesting. So, yeah, if you got any questions, you guys here in the panel, shoot them at me. I'll try to answer them. Embargo's already lifted, so I could talk about it all I want, you know.
What's the release date for this?
Quarter two. I don't know. It's quarter two. That's all I was told.
Interesting. Yeah, so you probably won't get your hands on it like for review for a couple of months.
Yeah, it's going to be a while. Yeah, it's going to be a hot while. Quarter two, because quarter two starts in April, right? Yeah, April, May, June. That's quarter two, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Carlos. Yeah, and I think so it's January, February, March, and then April, May, June.
Yeah. So in that window, yeah.
Yeah, so you bring up a good point with the whole thing with the handheld stuff because during New Year's I was with family and my brother-in-law just started talking about the ROG Ally and I'm like he doesn't play video games or anything like that. So I just found it surprising that he even knew about it.
You know what it is, Carlos? I just realized that. You know why? Because ROG Ally sold in Best Buy. That's why. You know?
So it's got that. So that's why they removed all the video games. So you can make space for that.
Yeah, right. But again, it's interesting. It's like you're selling the ROG Ally in Best Buy. And I believe this is also going to be sold at Best Buy as well. But it's like, it's really a handheld for more enthusiast guys like us that know our way around shit. You know, it's not mm-hmm. like a Steam Deck is way easier to use than this shit, you know. As a matter of fact, I remember when I was testing, you know, because I had already tested the Ally and the Legion Go. And then I got my hands on the Steam Deck OLED, right? So I'm there, you know, going through the menus, pressing the screen, you know, buttons on the screen. Touch controls. I'm like, oh, wait, I don't need to use touch controls. I could use the buttons because I got so used to it with the other ones because the fucking buttons wouldn't always work, you know,
mm-hmm.
Windows 11, you know. But because it's also Windows 11, you could do more shit with it. You know, oh yes, I did hear that there is a handheld or handhelds that are letting, that are going to have Steam OS. Did you guys talk about that?
No, I didn't see that news.
That would be cool. I saw that just briefly. I don't know if it's a specific handheld or if it's just going to be all together because that'd be cool. You know, obviously you could run Steam, you could play Steam games on these other consoles, but it's not running Steam OS, you know, Ion Neo. So, yeah, that's what, thank you, Felicia. It was the new Ion Neo that's coming out. You could run Steam OS on it.
So this is their way to do what they tried to do a couple of years ago with the Steam machines. Now they're just Steam Deck machines.
Yeah, that's right. Ion Neo. Here's the thing. I reviewed the I tested the Ion Neo 2S. I thought it was pretty good for the most part. It's just the fuck when you update the launcher, it fucking reverts to Chinese. You can't even read the shit.
No.
You know? Oh man. So I'm like, can you please fix that part? You know.
By the way, I talked to Adam today.
Oh, the claw.
I was talking about it to him and Rich about Prince of Persia, right?
Yeah.
Because it's about to come out, and I'm like, yo, I don't see this thing on Steam. They're like, I thought this was on PC. He's like, oh, you gotta get the Uplay. You gotta get the Uplay and the other one. And I'm like, God damn it, I want to play this on my Steam Deck. And Adam, for 2 seconds later, you can install the Uplay on the Steam Deck.
Of course. Adam, man. But yeah, that's all I got to say about the MSI Claw. I'm excited, but I kind of nerd out about these handhelds, so that's pretty obvious, you know? But generally, I don't disagree with you guys' sentiment that it's like, oh, here's another one, you know? Because that was my reaction to it. Beginning, I'm like, oh, here's another one. But when they said, oh, we got the meteor lake chip, I'm like, oh, okay, you got my attention now. You know, But you know, but again, that stands to be seen whether that makes an appreciable difference or not. You know, but I think it's cool. MSI's dope too, man.
MSI made some good stuff.
I like MSI. They're good. They're good. Good company. Good people too. Good PR. All right, man.
What's up, Brian? I also love how Tony, you accidentally did the Wonder Woman 84 meme. When you're comparing this and the Steam Deck.
You mean life is good, but could it be better?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way of, that's a good analogy, you know?
Good. That's what you said.
Yeah. What did I say exactly?
Yeah. You said that the Claw is good, but then the Steam Deck is better.
It is.
Nice one, Tony.
Yeah. Again, genius. Me being a genius without realizing it, you know? But it's true. What's up?
I have a question.
Why is it
this is submitted a buddy of mine in Eurocar 9 related to Eurocar 10?
He's a good guy, man.
He's a good dude. He said, he asked me, he's like, yo, ask Tony if there's any video game stuff in CES that he saw that piqued his interest. Or was there much of a video game presence at the shows?
I mean, do you consider gaming laptops to be a fucking video game related? It was mostly hardware that I saw. You know, I didn't see it, like, what's up?
There was a little Sony event thing, but I mean, for the most part, I mean, you know, they just showed off the car and then they showed off Last of Us, which, you know,
I have something I want to talk about. Yeah, I know.
You mean that moment, right?
What moment?
Torrance was over at the Sony area, you know, doing some stuff. And then as soon as he got to the Last of Us area, one of the PR ladies was like, no, you can't film this.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say this. I only had one appointment at the actual convention center. And that was Razer, coincidentally enough, video game. Yes, Eurocar 9, I do have an answer, actually. The most interesting thing, and Brett, I think you want to pay attention to this, right? I had an appointment with NVIDIA, and I got to check out I think it's called NVIDIA Ace. Basically, it's AI and PCs, right? So, you know, we went in there, and they were like, basically, the idea was, you know how in games, NPCs just repeat the same shit over and over and over again? So, you know, the whole idea here is, and again, Brett, you've talked about this before, like, what if you could just ask an NPC anything in a response with anything? So they had a bunch of us there, into a mic, ask the NPC shit, and they would respond, right? These guys were asking some boring fucking, like, what recipes do you recommend? And they would, you know, say something, right? So I go there. I'm like, okay, that girl, because they said there's a chef and a tech girl. I'm like, let me talk to the tech girl, you know? So I ask her, I want to build a PC. What do you recommend? Obviously, I recommended a fucking NVIDIA card. Obviously, right? You know? So, and they're like, can I keep talking to her? Like, yeah, go ahead, talk to it. By the way, I wrote a story about this for Tom Scott. You go check it out. So then I'm like, okay, what kind of PC do you have? So she goes, I got an RTX 4090 and 32 gigs of RAM. So I'm like, 32 gigs? Why not 64? She gets snippy with me. She's like, 64 gigs is way too much. That's overkill. You do not need more than 32 gigs for a gaming computer. I'm like, okay, you know? And this was all happening in real time. Very impressive. But at the same time, you're like, yo, you could literally sink hours into this shit and not even play the main story. That's crazy, you know?
So was this done, just to clarify, keyboard input or?
It was with a mic.
Voice.
It was voice. Yeah, I held by the vocal, key.
Vocal
yeah.
recognition.
So Brett, that's your dream, right? That's your dream right there, right? Spending hours and hours talking to NPCs.
No, I'm not a fan of, like, I know some people play games via, like, so I talk to this guy until he starts repeating the same text loop. I find that immersion breaking. Like, I think I would like a game that, like, I don't want to spend hours and hours talking to NPCs. I guess, come think of it, that's what most, like, video games are. So,
but what do you think of
Brett,
that?
Are you expressing a retraction from your former?
Yeah, statements? Brett, because you were pretty hyped about NPC AI NPCs before.
Oh no, I'm super hyped about it. I just the way you put it, like, you want to spend hours talking to AI NPCs, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend hours talking to any NPC. But then again, I'm like, again, that's all a Final Fantasy game is, really. Yeah. So I guess I do. I just never really thought of it quite like that. But super dope. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing, because remember, the AIs, the NPCs, you know, they're still programmed like to be kind of like real people. So one guy, this is funny. So one guy asked the chef, because again, it was all set in like a cyberpunk cafe. So they asked the chef, what can you tell me about, I forgot the guy's last name, Jensen, the CEO of NVIDIA, right? The guy's like, who's Jensen? I don't know who that is. You know, and then that's the girl, the tech girl, who's Jensen. And then she gives, it was a, you know, you could tell it was from Wikipedia. Jensen, blah, 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 it founded NVIDIA, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, but mm-hmm. It's cool that they at least the fucking chef guy didn't start going, Jensen, it founded NVIDIA, blah, 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 blah. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like he knew, he was like, what the fuck is, who's that? You know? So like, that's kind of cool, you know?
Am I supposed to know everybody?
Yeah. But the answers they were giving were very obvious AI answers. Like you could tell the AI answers, you know. But I found it interesting. You know, I'm like, yo, that could be a huge fucking time sink, especially for somebody like me. You know, I'm like, because I'm trying to find a completion. There is no completion. It just goes on forever.
Well, the thing about the completion is the character itself.
Yeah.
Like, if your character is programmed to be a sort of a tech character, they obviously would know things about tech. But, you know, the wall is, let's say they're not a cook. So ask the tech character cooking questions, and they'll probably be like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they asked the you know, because I think the reason they asked a bunch of cooking questions is because the guy was a chef. But here's one interesting thing, right? One guy, he came up, he's Italian, right? Like, hey, Miss Goose, but red, you know, all that shit. And he was like, and he asked the person, the handler there, he's like, hey, can I talk to this guy in Italian? It's like, yeah, go ahead, you know? So the person, he tells the NPC, hey, do you know Italian? And the cook looks at him like, yeah, I know Italian. So he asked him a question in Italian, and the NPC responded in Italian, you know? I'm like, oh shit, that's cool, you know? And it was the same voice too. It was like the same inflection and all that.
That is the thing that we talked about. Mm-hmm. We talked about the SAG pretty much made a deal with an AI company to essentially for actors to be able to opt in or out of that thing. And it sort of caused a bit of an uproar because they said that their people voted on it. But guys like Steve Bloom is like, I didn't get that memo.
It makes me wonder whose voices they used to replicate, you know, with these actors. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of the most cool gamey thing I saw. But real quick, since we got time here, Jay Shep goes, was anyone there saying anything interesting about the game industry from an outsider's POV? Nah, nobody. It's a tech trade show. Nobody was really talking about it. By the way, I want to tell you guys the most interesting thing that happened to me at CES. This is funny, man. So we're walking around. It's called Eureka Park, which is where they show like crazy tech shit. I look over my shoulder. I'm like, is that Satya Nadella? Holy shit, it is! You know?
Oh.
So he goes over to this like medical robot. I forgot the name of the robot, but I basically call it real life Gizmo Duck. You know, for you guys who don't know, right? Gizmo Duck from DuckTales, he has like this little wheel, right? He doesn't no legs, just a little wheel. And I always wondered for 30 years, how the fuck does that thing balance, right? So this thing is basically a real version of that, but instead of a wheel, it's a ball, right? So Satya Nadella goes to this fucking AI robot, right? Because everything was AI, CES. Everybody swarms the place, you know? And then, because we were going to pass it. Me and my crew, we were going to pass it. It's like, okay, Satya Nadella is fucking taking an interest in this shit. We got to do a video on it. So after he left, we go in there and we get the AI robot. But what's interesting is apparently they saw the AI robot two nights before the hand, but it wasn't working, you know? So if it wasn't for Satya Nadella, we wouldn't have grabbed that robot. But yeah, look, I'm like, holy shit, is that him? He's just walking around. It's crazy, you know?
There's also, I mean, like, the thing about it is that those sorts of wheel things exist. I mean, like,
it's not a wheel, it's a ball. It's a ball, you know?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, like the, what's that thing? The R4 or whatever the hell that thing is.
From
the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, that sort of idea does exist. I mean, people do ride those one wheel, like, things down streets.
Yeah.
And they're keeping perfect balance on it.
Yeah. But I've never, like, even with like cosplays, like you always see somebody holding them and stuff because it's hard to balance that little
I mean,
wheel.
It's not that. I mean, it's like, it's literally just a wheel that you tilt forward on and it moves.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
That exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and this thing reacts to you. It was like, you know, the guy who was, you know, covering it, he pushed it and it was like, you know? So yeah, CES was dope, man. But yeah, nobody talked about the video game industry. It's two different things. Although I don't know if I should. I can say some of this stuff. One thing I noticed, you know, the difference between the game industry and the tech industry. I hate to say this, I'm just going to be real. The people working there are a lot more professional. I'm talking about from everybody, from the journalists all the way to the PR people. You know, because the gaming, I guess because it's gaming, it's like a little bit more loosey and shit. Like, no, these are, like, I was talking to some fucking big CEOs and shit, but even the journalists themselves, they comported themselves. Yeah, Otaku Man, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But next year when I go, I definitely want to make sure I have a day for the actual convention center itself, because there was a lot of cool shit that I didn't have time for, you know, because I was busy just going to like different hotels and stuff. But yeah, more professionalism, a lot, you know, not as crazy hype, like, you know, video was like, not a lot of that going on, you know. Yeah, CES was pre-E3. As a matter of fact, E3 broke off from CES, as you well know, Otaku Man, because there were video games at CES back in the day, but video games got so big, like, okay, we need to have our own thing. But yeah, that's how it was.
What's to stop them from doing it again?
I was thinking, is the reverse going to happen now? Are we going to start seeing more game stuff at CES?
I mean, there's nothing stopping these companies from essentially demonstrating their new tech over mm-hmm. there. Like, okay, you got some, you know, you got some new tech that you're working on for gaming. I mean,
like Nvidia, like Nvidia's perfect example. Yeah.
In other words, you have these things out there. So yeah, I was watching a thing about it, like about, you know, some of the different things that, like, places like Sony, right?
Yeah.
They don't put like TVs and stuff out of there and anywhere. They really just put out like showcases. Things,
yeah,
you know, like, oh hey, we got this crazy car coming out, we got like all these other things other than, you know, the usual, like, oh hey, look, this is our new line of TVs, which, by the way, Sony apparently is going back to mini LCDs again.
Yeah, by the way, I saw this one story about how, like, I think it was it Sony or somebody else, they were like saying, no, we gotta have four TVs with 4,000 nits. You gotta burn your fucking retinas, man. Like 500 minutes is already too much, you know, or 1,000. But pretty interesting stuff. Yeah, CES was dope. I enjoyed it. But Manny, to your point, and again, because there's like crossover between, you know, gaming and laptops and stuff. But every single laptop manufacturer I saw there had a specific gaming section, you know. But I'm pretty sure that's been standard for a while now, you know. But as far as like games, no, it was really more about the tech. But saw Hip Hop Gamer there, by the way. You know how that went. Yo, we out here. Yeah. That was the same this year. We out here.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about it is that, like, he's sponsored by NVIDIA, isn't he?
I believe so. No, AMD, I believe, because that's where I ran into him at the AMD. It wasn't an AMD press conference. It was like a reception, like a little party and stuff.
He's sort of sponsored by them. Like, that's exactly where I saw him at, like, you know, when I saw him at PAX.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting. So, because I know he has a Logitech thing, sponsorship, I guess AMD too. But you know, it's cool. It was good seeing Hip Hop and seeing Torrance. And again, I always kind of underestimate that people know me. Like, there was, man, it was just like E3, me going down to fucking, oh, Tony, you know, so. That was good. Especially at Razer when I went to the booth, like a King's Homecoming, which is interesting. You know, because with Razer, I've mostly just gone to like little events with them or like just talk with them virtually. But, you know, they all knew me out there. Good stuff. CES is dope. I'm looking forward to it. That's already my favorite trade show, way better than E3. I'm sorry. You know, even though it's different. It's like with E3, your main concern was trying to get from one hall to the other. This one is like getting from one end of Vegas to the other. Also, I didn't realize how fucking cold Vegas gets. Holy shit. You know, I was but this is during the day too. Like, it's fucking brick, you know, because there's no humidity, you know. Mm-hmm. Vegas is dope too, but Vegas is good. So I didn't go to it, but I did see the orb or whatever the fuck it's called, that globe shit, you know.
Mm-hmm. this, was it the sphere or the orb? Or
yeah, I think it's the sphere. Yeah, because it's so big, you can't help you. It's always there, you know. So that was good. And Vegas people, you know, maybe it's because I'm a New Yorker. They're just really, really nice out there, you know.
Vegas people is kind of an oxymoron because
if you're in the Strip. Yeah,
it's like being in Times Square.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people from other places and shit, but they're probably happy to be there, you know. Tony out like the hangover too. I didn't really drink too much. Although actually on the last night I did, because I was like, okay, now I'm gonna drink. On the last night I had two margaritas and it was one of those deals, Carl's, you drink and drink and I don't feel nothing. You know, and then I went to go to the bathroom, I'm like, oh shit.
You broke the seal.
Yeah, because I had one margarita and shit. I'm like, nothing happened. Let me get another one, you know? On the company's dime, you know. And then as soon as I moved, like, oh shit. It was good, man. Good drinking with my boss out there, you know. Good times, man. CES. All right, man. That's gonna do it for us. I wanted to say this at the beginning of the show, say it again. You know, obviously, you know, Manny and Carlos, but all you guys, thank you for holding it down while I was gone. I don't anticipate I'll be gone for a while, so again, man, we don't take a break on Throwdown, man. You know, that's why we have a big cast here. You know, we don't want to let you guys down, you know?
We have an honorary honorary member of the Throwdown, RBJ.
Yeah, he showed up. Oh, yes. Shout out to Richard Bailey Jr.'s, you know? Yeah, good stuff, man. All right, do we have anything to plug?
No, I Am Negan is still on hiatus until next month, so I'll make sure to plug it once it comes back.
Good stuff. And Invincible Podcast is still on hiatus until whenever, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, go to Coalition. You know, I'll plug that. Go to Coalition. Torrance posted a bunch of stuff. Go check it out. Torrance is back. The Itch got him. You know, making content. You know, I don't know if this is going to be a short lived thing, but it's good to see Torrance back, man. Again, you could tell he's very happy now with his life. You know. But yeah, go over to coalition.com, coalition with a K.com. Check out all the cool stuff that Torrance filmed out there at CES, man. And also go to tomsguide.com where I work. And I am now your boy, a senior staff writer, got promoted, you know, which is always very nice. And check out all my stuff there, man. I posted a lot of shit this week. Your boy was busy. Not only did I have fun, but I got busy. You know, a lot of shit. Not only that, also go to our YouTube channel, Tom's Guide, over on YouTube. By the way, they changed the banner. I'm on the fucking thing now, you know, which is pretty cool. I don't know where they got that picture
Superstar.
From. It's me wearing like a Kojima shirt. But I'm like, where did you get that picture from? But you know, it's cool. I did a lot of videos out there as well. Just getting crazy with these laptops and handhelds and monitors. Checked out a new 57-inch monitor from Acer. Fucking crazy. I'm like, okay, we're doing this now. Because I did check out a 57-inch monitor from Samsung, another Odyssey fucking monitor. I'm like, it's funny because I reviewed a 49-inch monitor from Samsung. I'm like, okay, this is already too much. Then they were like, hold my beer, bro. 57 inches, man. It's basically two 32-inch 4K monitors in one, you know?
But, I mean, okay, so theoretically, with that, you could, like, at that point, you could use it as a television.
Kind of.
It being that big.
It's like ultra wide and shit. And it's curved too, you know? Because, yeah, it's wide, but it's not like, it's wide this way, Manny, but not this way, you know? It's cool. All right, anyway, we're done here. So make sure you follow Twitch. Make sure you follow Throwdown Twitch and Twitters. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's towards Throwdown Show, throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and like the video, we're back on YouTube, people. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live. With no premieres now. You know, we just go live, motherfuckers. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Manjoma.
I was informed that a couple of hours ago that my boy Eddie has contracted the disease known as Killmonger.
Oh, yeah. The Eddie Gordo shit. By the way, what's up with that hairstyle? Even the Prince of Persia has it now. You know, the fucking everyone little dreads and it. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. Not only the dreads, Brian, but the shaved head too. You know, like the sides and shit. Like, all right, that's what we're doing. Is that the equivalent of like Asian girl with just a little bit of her dyed hair? Is that the equivalent of that now?
Yeah, that's like it's become like the Asian girl blue hair now. Yeah.
Or the Nathan Drake.
Yeah. The little yeah. Up at the front. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, guys.
It's a popular hairdo now.
Yeah, I guess
the
so.
Gears of War characters have it. It's so, like
somebody realized that black people can do other types of hair other than afros, cornrows, and short dreads.
Brian, did you see twists. That? Did you see that one guy calling the Tekken makers racist because they didn't reveal Eddie Gordo during the initial premiere?
Oh yeah, I've seen that. That guy must be very quiet right now.
Yeah, looking really stupid. And they premiered another black character when they revealed the game, didn't they? So it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man?
They have plenty of black characters. Yeah, that's the funny part.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, just scream racism. Go ahead. Now you look dumb, bro. You know, there's Eddie Gordo. with his stupid haircut. They're not really stupid. It's just played out. It's like Killmonger. We've seen that already.
I mean, you can go back to the old dreads. He used to wear his dreads back and look good.
Yeah, go back to that, man. They're going to do that shit to DJ next, aren't they? Oh, man. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday, man. Your boy's back. Later.
Jesus.
Peace. Peace.